The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Ayin Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by our dear friend, Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem yishmeru v'chayehu. May God give him beracha, blessing, atzlaha, success, health and happiness, peace of mind for him, his wife, his family, his children, and Be'ezat Hashem, may he enjoy prosperity and good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied, the Eilu Nishmat, Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tenihinu, Began Eden, Amen. Amen. Today's daf is being studied, Latzlahat Yosef ben Simcha. We are beginning on Ayin Het Amud Bet, and we are 19 lines from the bottom. We are starting with the words Amar Rav Hana. Amar Rav Hana Bar Ada Netinim David Gazar Alehim. Regarding these Netinim, David HaMelech made a gezerah against them that they're not allowed to come into the Kahal. The Netinim, again, let's review, were actually a group of people called the Givonim. They lived in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Really, they were from Eretz Israel. They were under the Torah law of Lotet Hatin Bam, because they're not allowed to leave them alive, actually. And they came along and disguised themselves as if they came from a far off place. And Yoshua ben Nun thought that they were actually from a far off place and accepted them, only to realize that they tricked him. But since he kept his word, and he made his word and he vowed to them, so therefore he kept them into the Kahal. So David HaMelech made a gezerah against them. The Tosfot way understands this, he made a gezerah that they should be considered like slaves, Avadim, Avadim of Avadim, and once Avadim of Avadim, obviously they're allowed to marry into the Kahal. Shne'emar, Vayikra Melech LaGibonim. So it says David HaMelech called the Givonim, Vayomer Adehem, and he said to them, VaGibonim Lo B'Bnei Yisrael Hema. Now, doesn't mean that they're not from Israel, it means that they're not allowed to marry into Israel, which means Avadim of an Eved, and it's like an Eved cannot marry into Israel, so to the Givonim. And that was done by David. My Tama Gazar Alai, why did David HaMelech make such a Gezerah? There was a 3-year famine in the times of David HaMelech. Shana Rishona Amar Lev. So David HaMelech was telling the Jewish people after the first year, Shema Ovde Avodat Kochavim Yesh Bachem. Maybe the reason why the famine is happening because the people are worshipping Avodah Zarah, Dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, Va'abatem Elohim Aharim Veshtahavitem Lev. That in the event that the people worship Avodah Zarah, what happens? Va'atzar Etas Shemaim Lo Yematar. So it's not going to be rain, it's going to be a drought. But they went and made an investigation. Velo matzu, they did not find any traces of Avodah Zarah. Shiniya, so after the second year, Amar lehem Shema Ovre Avera Yeshbachim, which means maybe it's a different sin that they're committing, which is maybe it is Avera of Gilui Arayot. So the Gemara says, Dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, Vayimni'u Revivim, the clouds are refrained from the people, Umlakosh lo haya, and there was no rain. Why? Umetzach isha zonah hayalach, because the people were going after the znut, and there was another reason why the rain stops. But ku velo matzu, they investigated, they didn't find that either. Shelishit, after the third, Yamad lehem Shema poskes tzedakah berabim yeshbechem ve'en notnim. Maybe it's because people are pledging money to charity in public, but they're not fulfilling their pledges. Dechtiv, and how do we know that stops the rain? Because it says in the pasuk, Nesi'im veruach, you have wind and you have clouds, ve'geshem ayin, but no rain. Ish metalel b'matat sheken, because a person glorifies himself with false givings, which means just like when a person gives money or pledges money, so the institution gets all excited that the money's coming, but it doesn't show up. So God does a measure for measure. He brings the clouds and he brings the wind, so everybody gets excited. The rain's coming, but it never comes. So he felt that that's maybe why the rain is not coming. So the Gemara says, "Batku velo matzu." They found that it was not true. They didn't find it. Amar en adavar talui elabi. So David HaMelech said, "Must be it's something that's incumbent upon me that I have to fix in order to bring the rains. Miyad vebekesh David Pnei Hashem. So David, he went after the Pnei Hashem. What is Pnei Hashem? Ma'i amashakish shesha'ad be'urim v'tumim. He went to ask the Urim v'tumim, that's the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. How do you know the word Pnei Hashem is the Urim v'tumim? Amar v'lazar. Atya Pnei Pnei. We have a Gezerah Sheva Pnei Pnei. Ketiv Acha, it says by David vebekesh David Pnei Hashem. Uchtiv Atam. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu was installing Yoshua ben Nun, he told them that if there's any questions, v'sha'alo b'mishpat ha'urim lefnei Hashem. So you see that the Urim is called lefnei Hashem. V'yomer Hashem el Shaul ve'el bet ha'damim al asher himit ha'giv'onim. So he answered him, v'yomer Hashem el Shaul. The reason why there's a famine regarding Shaul and Bet Damim, the house of bloodshed, on account that they killed the Gibeonim. We'll see exactly what this means. El Shaul, what does it mean regarding Shaul? Shelo nispat kehalacha. Because Shaul was not eulogized properly. And the Mefarshim explain why that is so. They say that the Navi tells us that his body was taken and by the Goyim. And therefore, since it was taken by the Goyim, the people of Yavish Gilad actually took the body, and therefore they weren't able to eulogize him properly. So there was a punishment for that. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'el bet hadamim." What is this house of bloodshed? Al asher himit ha'giv'onim, because he killed the Giv'onim. Now here we see Shaul HaMelech killed the Giv'onim. So it says, "Ve'ichiechan matzinu b'Shaul shemit ha'giv'onim ela itoch." Sheharag Nov Ira Kohanim. Shaul HaMelech killed the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. Shayum Maspikim Lahem Maim Umazon. Nov Ira Kohanim were actually supplying food and provisions for the Givonim. So by killing Nov Ira Kohanim, indirectly actually affected the Givonim. Ma'aleh Alav Katuv Kilu Halagam. So therefore it's considered as if he murdered the Givonim. So Kataba El Shaul Shalon Ismat Kalacha. Give us away. There's two seemingly contradictory claims over here. One claim is that Shaul was a great man, and that's why they didn't eulogize him kahalacha, so there was a claim. And on the other hand, you have a claim against Shaul, that he didn't kill the Givonim. So make up your mind, is Shaul good or bad? Which means you're telling me the reason why the famine came is, well, number one, he wasn't eulogized properly because he was a Sadiq. Number two, he told because he didn't kill the Givonim. That means he wasn't. So make up your mind. What's the reason? So the Gemara says, well, how can you say contradictory reasons? The Gemara says, "In Damar Shakish, my dichti." What does it say in the pasuk? Bekeshu et Hashem kol an ve'ares, seek Hashem, all the humble ones of the land. Asher mishpato pa'alu. So the Gemara explains, ba'asher mishpato sham pa'alu, which means at the time that God judges the Sadiq. So he's reminded of the tzaddik. He also reminds his good ways. So therefore, God was reminded of Shaul's way of mishpat, the judgment against him. What was the judgment against him? That he killed the Givonim. But at the same time, he also remembered his goodness. And therefore he said, lo nispat kalacha. So therefore, yes, where the mishpat is, pa'olo. That's where the good deeds are as well. So it's not a contradiction. God remembered both at the same time. When he remembered Shaul's iniquity by not killing the Givonim, at that time, he said, oh, Shaul, remembered him. He said, he wasn't inspired kalacha. So the judgment woke, inspired the memory of the good. Amar David. So David said, all right, we have to fix these problems over here. Well, we can't fix the eulogy of Shaul. It's over already. Shaul nafkunehu teresar yerheshata. Already it's 12 months later, and therefore there's no value in the eulogy after 12 months, so that cannot be fixed. However, velo darchea lemishpedeh. And therefore it's not the derech to make a hesped after 12 months. But she says, lav davka de'a karov letaltin shenina. Which means it was much more than 12 months. She says it was 30 years later. But the point is, Sabina Melik was saying that after 12 months already, it's not proper to make eulogies because already everybody is consoled already. In any event, what happened? So Netinim, how are we going to pacify these Netinim over there? The Netinim were upset that Shaul had killed indirectly their family. So they were upset. So it was all happening because of the Hakpadah of the Netinim. So the Gemara says, Nikrinu. So David HaMelech had a plan. We'll call them to a meeting. Minifaisinu, and we'll appease them. ויקרא המלך לגבעונים, שדביר המלך קוס לגבעונים, ויאמר עליהם, מה אעשה לכם? What can I do for you? ובמה אכפר? And how can we get atonement? ובריחות נחלת השם, שדביר אחר will come back. ויאמרו לו הגבעונים, אין לנו כסף וזהב עם שאול ועם ביתו. We're not interested in money. A money compensation over here. Ve'en lanu ish, and we're not interested in taking any money from Klal Yisrael. But you know what we want? Yutan lanu shiv'a anashim mibanav. Give us 7 descendants or children of Shaul HaMelech. Ve'okanum l'Hashem. And we will hang them as a revenge for what they did by killing our people. Mifayes. So David HaMelech tried to appease them that they can't do that. Ve'lo paisanu, but they did not accept appeasement. Amar, so David HaMelech said, Shilosha simanim yesh be'umazu. The Jewish people have 3 telltale signs. And what are they? Harahmanim, Rabbeishanim, Vegomle Hasadim. The Jewish people by nature are compassionate people, they're Baishanim, they have shame, and also Gomle Hasadim, they do Hesed. Rahmanim, how do we know the Jewish people have Rahmanim, have compassion, dikhtiv? Venata nechara hamim, vrihamcha. The Pasuk says God is going to give us a measure of Rahamim and have mercy on us. Baishanim, dechtiv, ba'abur tehye yirato al penechem. Which means the Baishanim means they have a shame, which means they have Yirat Shamayim, so they're ashamed to commit a sin that comes from the Yirat Shamayim on their face. Gomle hasadim, dechtiv, lema'an asher yisavet banav. Ve'et beto, by Avraham Avinu it says that he commanded his children after him, and it says Veshameru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. Tzedakah is hasadim. Kol sheyesh bo shlosha simanim alalu, any person that has these 3 simanim of rahmanim, baishanim, gomlei hasadim, ra'ui lehidabek be'umazu, is ra'ui to attach themselves. Which is at that point already David HaMelech says we see these givonim, they have no rahmanut. They want to take revenge to the fullest measure. They don't forgive. And therefore, they're not ra'ui to come into the Kahal. And anyway, what happened? Vayikach HaMelech. So at that point, that's when David HaMelech banned them from the Kahal. As a result of their akhzariyut, of their cruelty in taking such a revenge. So comes the Gemara and says, Lashi says, HaRachmanim V'hali Givonim Kivan De Lo Merachameh. Since they have no compassion, Enan De'uim Nidabek Behen Miyad Gazar Alehen David. David made a gezerar, Rashi says, Lachen Nehmar V'hagibonim Lo Mebnei Yisrael Heba. That's what he meant when he said, they're not from the Jewish people, meaning they have no right to marry into the Jewish nation. So the pasuk writes, "Vayikach Hamelech." Now we have to take 7 children of Shaul. Who do we take? Et shene bene Ritzpa bat Ayah. That was Shaul's wife. Who was those 2 children? Asher yadadal leShaul. Armoni vet Mefiboshet. Vet Hameshet bene Michal bat Shaul. Asher yadadal leAdriel ben Barzilai Hamecholati. So he took 7 children: 2 from one wife and 5 from Michal. So Gemara says, "My shena hane, why did he take those 7? Which is that Shaul seems to have other children. Why did he specifically take these 7? Amar Avuna he'avirum nifne Aron. He took all the children of Shaul and he walked them by the Aron, the Aron Hakodesh. What happened? Kol Sharon kolto. If the person when he walked by the Aron, if it caught him, meaning he wasn't able to move, it's like he was in a magnetic field. He wasn't able to pass by the Aron. The Aron caught him lemita. So then already that was a signal that that person is destined to die. Kol she'en aron kolto. But if a person was able to walk by the aron and he wasn't caught in that magnetic field, so to speak, l'chaim. So he gets life. So the Gemara says, so these 7, obviously, the aron was koletem. Mativ Rav Hana bar Katina. He asks the question. Vayachmol ha-melech al mefiboshet ben Yohanatan ben Shaul. So it says, David HaMelech had mercy on Mephibosheth, who was the son of Yonatan, who was the grandson of Shaul. So what do you see from over here? You see that it was up to David HaMelech. David HaMelech was having compassion, so it wasn't to do with the Aron. So it says, Shiloh Aviro, that what? He didn't walk him by the Aron. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, what do you mean he didn't walk him by the Aron? V'chi maso parim yish b'davar. What is there favoritism over here? Which means, how can he show favoritism to Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul? Ela she'aviro v'kalto. Now he walked him by the Aron, and the Aron actually caught him. U'bikesh alav rahamim, but he prayed for him, u'palto, and it let him go. So the Gemara says, still, v'akati, maso panim yish b'davar. Well, there's favoritism over. He's praying for him. He got caught. I can even pray. Show favoritism. Ela shebikesh la'im shelo yikletenu Aaron. So already he prayed before the Gizera. So already the Gizera, it seems that that's like a sin maso penim, which is once already the Gizera is on him to pray for him specifically. That's already favoritism. But to pray that he doesn't get caught initially, that already was in the right. That's what he did. In any event, the Gemara says, "Vehakiti." We have another problem. The pasuk says, "Lo yumetu avot albanim," which means the fathers don't die for the sins of the children. And the end of the pasuk says, "Velo yumetu banim alabot." The children don't die for the sins of the father. So here, Shaul made a sin. Now his children are paying the price. Amar b'chaya b'rabba, amar b'yohanan. Mutav sh'te'aker otahat min ha-Torah. Better we should erase one letter from the Torah. Ve'al yithalel shem shamayim b'farhesya. Rather than make a halul Hashem in public. What does this mean over here? The pasuk says that lo yumitu. Let's erase one letter from the Torah. Which letter? The lamed. The Aleph is a small letter. It does not consider erasing. So if you take away the Lamed, it's as if it's saying, Yumitu avotu banim. Take away the Lamed, which means we'd rather erase a letter from the Torah and sidestep a law temporarily in order not to make a Hilul Hashem for Hishya. Why would it be Hilul Hashem? Because if the Jewish people are not going to take revenge against the sinners over here, what are the Goyim going to say? Look at these cruel people, the Jewish people. This man, Shaul, was responsible for killing all these Goyim. And what do the Jewish people do? Nothing. And therefore they're going to look at us as in a bad light. So therefore better to put the Torah's words on the side momentarily in order to create a Hilul Hashem. Comes to the Tzva and says, Chas v'Shalom, the Torah's law is the Torah's law. If these people were chosen, must be they committed sins that they were deserving to die. It just seems to the people that the children are dying for the father's sins, but it wasn't so. If God chose these seven, they must have had sins that they deserved it themselves. But the Gemara is just saying, in any event, for the people that looks like that, doesn't matter. Hilul Hashem is much worse. So comes the Gemara and continues. Vatikach Ritzpa bat aya. Actually, let's just look at Rashi for a second. Va'ayit halal shem shamayim, shiyu ha'umot umnim. The nations are going to say, en umazu re'uim lidabek ba. Now, this nation is not worthy to cling to. Share pashu yedem begirim. They violated the converts. These were the givonim. Litol mizonotem velo asu behem nekama. Which means they just took the mizonot of the converts. They took the mizonot away by killing Novi Rakoanim, and they didn't take revenge against the people that did it. So bihadul Hashem. Kabbalah says, "Vatikach l'tzpa bat ayah et asak." The tzpah bat ayah was the mother of two of the children. She took the sack, vatateula el asur, and she put it on the sur, on the rock. And what does it say? Mitchilat ketzir ad nitach ma'im alehem min hashamayim, which means it says that she was there. She watched the bodies. So the bodies were hung from Pesach time in Nisan all the way until the time of the rainy season, which is Sukkot. So they actually hung for 6 months. Ve'lo natna of hashamayim lanuach alehem. She made sure that the birds do not violate the bodies to rest on them. Yomam vehayat asadeh laila, the wild animals at night. So she stayed there, making sure that the bodies were protected. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? How can they keep the bodies hanging for so long?" Ve'aketiv lo talin nivlato alaitz. The Gemara says, "You're not to keep the body hanging overnight. Once the nightfall comes, you got to take them down." Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yosadak mutav sheta'akir otahat min haTorah." Again, better to uproot one letter of the Torah, the law, which instead of saying lo talin, say talin. Uproot a letter from the Torah, v'yitkadesh shem shaman b'farhesya. And to make a kiddush Hashem. Now why would this be making a kiddush Hashem? Shayu ovrim v'shavim omrim. The people that are going to pass and see these seven children of Shaul hung on the tree, what are they going to say? Mati ban shalelu. We'll say, what did they do, these people that they hung? Halalu b'nei melachim. They're going to say, these are the sons of the king, the princes. Uma'asu. And what did they do? Pashtu yedehem begirim girurim. They violated the rights of the girim that were girurim. Girurim means they were dragged into klayse, which means, even though these girim were really not brought in on a proper pretense, these are girim that were brought in on a false pretense. But what? They took advantage of them. What happened? The people are going to say, Amru. The people are going to say, there's no nation like this that is worthy to attach ourselves to. Why? If they're so strict to excise punishment, even to B'nai Melachim, into the sons of the king, jotot al kama vekama. How much owes the justice to the regular people? And what? Umagirim girurim kak. If this is the way they punish people for taking advantage of girim that are girurim, that came on a false pretense and were just dragged into Klal Yisrael. Yisrael, alahat kama vekama. Could you imagine the punishment that they give to a person that violates the rights of Israel, miyad, as a result of this, so therefore they make Kiddush Hashem. They leave him on the tree. It's going to be Kiddush Hashem to the people. So the Gemara says, miyad, immediately, the tosfu al Yisrael me'ah v'hamishim elef. 150,000 converts joined Klal Yisrael. That's what type of Kiddush Hashem it was. Shene emar, v'hi l'shlomo, 70,000 nosei sabal, u'shmonim elef chosei bahar. Shlomo HaMelech had 70,000 porters carrying the materials and 80,000 people that bore holes into the mouth. It means 150,000 workers, and the Gemara is assuming that these were converts as a result of the Kiddush Hashem. Who told you? Who told you they were converts? Pesuk doesn't say they were converts. Maybe they were Jewish. We wouldn't think that. Why? The Shlomo did not let the Jews do this type of work. So they must have been converts. Who said they were converts? V'dilma dugzar be'alma. Maybe they were just hired workers, meaning of goyim. So who told you that they weren't converts at all? So the Gemara says, Eda mehacha. We know from a different pasuk. Actually, the beginning of this pasuk. V'yisaper Shlomo, v'yispor, I'm sorry. Shlomo counted. Kol ha'anashim ha'gerim asher be'eretz Yisrael, all the converts that came into Eretz Yisrael, v'yimse'u me'ah v'hamishim elef. He found 150,000 converts, v'yas mim shivim elef nosei sabal, u'shmonim elef chosei bahar. And he made 70,000 poors and 80,000 people that bore into the mountain. So you see over here that the 150,000 converts came as a result of the Kiddush Hashem. They saw the Jewish people excise a retribution to what Shaul HaMelech did, which means they didn't show favoritism, they paid a punishment for an injustice that was done. Comes the Gemara and asks the question, V'netinim, David gazar alehem. What are you telling me? Saying David HaMelech was the one that made this gazar on the netinim? To turn them into, to give them a status of avadim, and therefore we cannot marry into them? The Gemara says, Moshe gazar alehem. Moshe already made a gazar on these type of people. Dichtiv, Mechotev esecha ad shoev memecha. Which the pasuk says that anybody that's a chotev etzim, which is an eved, that cut into wood chopper or water drawer, Moshe Rabbeinu said they're asur to come into the kaal. So therefore, the bottom line, these people, but Yeshua made them wood choppers and water drawers. So therefore, from the times of Moshe, that means these type of people are considered avadim. Therefore, it's asur to come into the kaal. What did you need David HaMelech to establish over here? So the Gemara says, Moshe gazar lahu dara. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu made a gezerah for his generation. David gazar lekule dara. David was gozer on them for all generations to come. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'akat is still Yoshua gazar alayu. What do you mean? It wasn't the David HaMelech. Yoshua ben Nun was gozer against the Netinim. Dichtiv, Vayetenem Yoshua b'yom ahu chotve esim v'shua b'mayim la'eda v'lemezbeh Hashem. Which means he made them water drawers for the people, and also to serve for the mezbeh Hashem. Look at that she. She says, Yoshua alma avadim ninu. V'Yoshua ledorot habayim gazar. Dichtiv lo yichrot mehem chotbe etzim. So then Yoshua already decreed against these people for the generations. What do you mean? What did David HaMelech do? So the Gemara says, Yoshua gazar bizman shebet hamikdash kayam. Yoshua's gezra was only for when the Bet HaMikdash is going to be around. David gazar bizman shem Bet HaMikdash kayam, which means David was gozer already even after the Bet HaMikdash is destroyed that they're going to be asur. So comes the Gemara and says, Bimei Rabbi, at the time of Rabbi, Bikshu lehatir netinim. They wanted to matir the netinim to come into the kahal. And she says, Diyecholim betin lehatir. ולהפקיר חלקם של ישראל תקיים עליהם הפקר בדין היה הפקר בדין כמקה הפקר over here, which means these guys over here are considered avadim, so there it's like property, so therefore they're able to make the property to free the property using a concept of hefker betin. So in the time of Rabbi, they wanted the matir to give only make them not avadim anymore, therefore the permissible to come into the kahal. So the Gemara says, bimei Rabbi bikshu latir netinim amar lahem Rabbi. So Rabbi said, helkenu natir, we could matir our helik. However, helik mizbeach miyatir, But who could matir the chelik of the mizbeach? We have a right to free them from service, from our own personal bondage, because that's our property. But we don't have a right to matir the chelik to the mizbeach, which means if they're working for the mizbeach, how can Rabbi's beti come along now and free them from the service of the kodesh? So we don't have a right to do that. So the Gemara says, "Ufligad Rabbi Hayabar Abba, Dabar Rabbi Hayabar Abba, Amar Rabbi Hanan, Helik Eda Le'olam Asur." He came along and said, "The Helik of the Eda is Asur forever. Nobody could matir the Helik of the Eda, which is their Asur to the Kaal. Helik Mizbeach, but the Helik to the Mizbeach, Bizman Shemayim Mizbeach Kayam Asur." It's only Asur in the times that there was a Beit HaMikdash. However, in Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Shari. But when there was no Beit HaMikdash, so the Chalik Mizbeah automatically goes off. So therefore, as she says, Chalik Eda Le'olam Asur, Ad, actually let's read the one before that. Ufligat Rabbi Haya, Had the Kamar Chalik Mizbeah Miyatir, right? The rabbis in times Rabbi said, who's going to matir the Chalik Mizbeah? Ve'afal Gav, the Mizbeah B'mei Rabbi Lo Hava, even though there was no Mizbeah in the times of Rabbi, there was no Beit HaMikdash, Kamad the Helik Mizbeah Asur. He still held that what? Helik Mizbeah Asur. So you see what? That the Helik Mizbeah is still intact, even when there's no Beit HaMikdash. Ufligad Rabbi Haya. Because Rabbi Haya said that the Helik Mizbeah only has status at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. But when there's no Beit HaMikdash, the Helik Mizbeah is Mutar. According to the first opinion, since they have that Helik to the Mizbeah, that we'll call it obligation or servitude to the Mizbeah, even though there's no Beit HaMikdash. So it's not ra'ui to matir the chalik of them themselves, the avdut, because the chalik of Mizbeah are still around. But according to the second shita, it says no, the chalik of Mizbeah was not around when there's no Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, according to the second shita, once you free them, they're free. You don't have to worry about the chalik of Mizbeah because it doesn't exist. Bizman shem Beit HaMikdash kayam. Okay. Comes the next Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said, "Shamati, I heard Shasiris Choletz veChotzim leIshto. I heard one halakha that says a sris. Sris is somebody that cannot have children. Okay, he's sterile for whatever reason. So it says a sris is Choletz. He can make Chalitza. That means, let's say his brother died, so he makes Chalitza to his sister-in-law, v'cholzin le'ishto. Or in the case, let's say, where he dies, this brother can make chalitza to his wife. Furthermore, v'asris, I heard another halakha that says, lo choletz ve'lo cholzin le'ishto. The exact opposite. Ve'in li lefaresh. And I don't have an interpretation. I'll explain this over here. That she says, eni yodeya eze sris ben chalitza ve'eze patur. I don't know which one is subject to halitza and which one is not. So comes the Gemara Mishnah and says, "Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ariya Fadesh." I'll explain it to you. Saris Adam, if he's a Saris Adam, which means he became a Saris after he was born, something happened to him. Choletz v'halut v'cholzin ishto. He can make halitza and they can make halitza to his wife. Why? Mipenei shaita lo sha'at kosher. Because there was a time that he was considered childbearing. Yeah. Which means the whole reason why you'd say a sadis, you shouldn't make chalitza, and he doesn't have to make chalitza, because the pasuk says, lo yimache shemol yisrael. Why do you make chalitza or yibum? In order to perpetuate the name. But this guy never had a chance. His name was erased from the get-go. He never had a chance to have children. So therefore, if a saris falls to yibum, we say, you don't make yibum, you don't make chalitza, because he only give chalitza to somebody or yibum, to somebody that was shayach to have children. So therefore, lo yimache. But he's machoy meikara. Masha'enken is saris Adam. Since there was a time where he had an ability to have children, and then he became a Saris, so therefore he was in the perasha of having children, so therefore if he's forced to yibum, or chalitza, he can make a chalitza. Right. So comes the Mishnah and says, Sris Hama, what is a Sris Hama? So that she says from birth, Lo choletz velo chotzin leishto. Why? Mepeneh shelo haita lo sha'at kosher. Because he never had a chance. He never had a time that he was able. Comes the Mishnah, there's Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo. Rabbi Elazar says the exact opposite from Rabbi Akiva. Ki, el asris hama choletz ve'chotzin leishto. The opposite. Asris hama, that was born asris from birth, he is subject to the laws of chalitza. Mepeneh sheyesh lo refuah. Because he could be healed. A sris from birth has the ability to be healed. However, sris adam lo cholitz v'lo chotzin l'ishto v'pnei she'en lo refuah. Because once a person becomes a sris after he's born, so then already he cannot revert it. So comes the Gemara and says, he'id Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera gave a testimony. Al ben Megusat. That was a fellow. Shaya Birushalayim Sris Adam. He was in Yerushalayim and he was a Sris Adam. And what? V'yibimu et ishto. And they made yibum on his wife. Who's that following? The Kayem Devre Rabbi Akiva. To follow the words of Rabbi Akiva that Sris Adam falls to Halitza. You see from the end of the Mishnah, not only Halitza, but even Yibum. Comes the Gemara and continue, Mishnah continues on some of the halachot. Hasris lo choletz velo miyabim. Right? We said a Sris Hamah, for example, according to Rabbi Akiva, does not make Halitza, does not make Yibum. He's not in the Perasha. Vechen Ailonit. Ailonit is a lady that is not able to have children as well. Lo choletzet velo miyabimit. Right? She does not make Halitza, nor they make you boom on her. Hasris. Now we're going to discuss another case. Hasris shehalatz li yibimto. Let's say Hasris Hama, according to Rabbi Akiva. Right? Hasris Hama, we said what? Does not make Halitza yibum. Let's say shehalatz li yibimto. Let's say he did it. Lo pasla. She does not become pasul lekeuna. A halutza is pasulah lekeuna. Since this halitza of the Sris Hama is nothing according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to do it. He's patur. Therefore, even though he went through the motions, it's a hollow ceremony. And therefore, she does not become pesula lekeuna. Again, if a Sris Hama makes halitza to a lady, she's not going to be considered a halutza that she's forbidden to a kohen. Because she don't need it. It's not a halitza. Therefore, she's forbidden to a kohen, this lady. Because she's not considered a halutza. Baala, however, if he had, let's say, relations with her, pasla. Now she's pesula from kehuna. Why? Lepeneshi be'ilat znut. Because now already it's be'ilat znut. Because since the saris is not allowed to make yibum, so therefore, what does it come out? He's going with tachot. He's going with eshet ach. He's going with his brother, his wife, and that's already isur. So that's considered znut, and therefore she becomes zona, and therefore she cannot go with the kohen. So if they make a halitza, since the halitza is nothing, she's not considered a halutza, she's permissible to a kohen. She has a relation with her, then already it's beidat znut, because since there's no yibum in a halitza, so stam the guy's going with eshet ach, yeah. Therefore it's posela, because it's beidat znut, therefore it's besula, the kehuna. Then she says, beidat znut, shasuna lo mishum eshet ach, shelo bemkom mitzvah. Comes to Mishnah and concludes, vechen ailonit. Shehalsu la achim. Let's say you have an ailonit. Okay? She's not able to have children. And the brother, let's say, made halitza. Lo pastua. They didn't posel to the kohen. Because since the halitza is nothing, so therefore there was no halitza. She's not considered a halitza. She could marry a kohen. He has kids already, let's say. Okay. He has kids from another wife. So if you feel piruvu, so he can marry her. The only time you can't marry an ailonit is if, let's say, they didn't fulfill peru urvu, like we learned. But if he fulfilled peru urvu, there's no problem. Ba'alua, but let's say the brothers had bi'a with the ailonit, pastuha. Why? Mipneshe bi'ailata, bi'ailat zenut. Same point. Because that's considered bi'at zenut, because that's considered eshet ach, and there's shalom in kometra, therefore she's pesula, the keuna. Comes the Gemara now and explains. Mechdi, let us analyze. These cases, Shama'ina and Rabbi Akiva, we learned already the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, the Amar, that he said, Hibe Lavin Kehibe Kiritut Damu. That he says, for example, for a Mamzer, not only does a person create a Mamzer if he went with, let's say, somebody that's Hayav Karet, but a Mamzer comes even from somebody that's Hayav Lav, even from a lo ta'aseh. Now, Rashi, ki hibek ritut damed, amar bi akiva b'acholetz, on daf memtet, yesh memzer mehibe lavin. That was bi akiva shita. V'sris adam, now a sris, what is he considered from the Torah? Mehibe lavinu. Because he's considered lo yavo pesua daka. A sris, bottom line, falls under the category of pesua daka. He's not allowed to come into the kahal. How did you say that the Sris makes Halitza to Eshet Achiv, to his brother's wife? Haloram Yakameh. She doesn't fall. Because just like we learned that when there's an Isur, for example, Isur Karet, does the sister fall to the brother if it's Isur Karet? If it's Arayot? No. So Rabbi Akiva says, by the way, it doesn't have to be Isur Karet. Even if it's only Yisur Lav already, Yisur Lav is like Yisur Karet. So why does she even fall to Yibum that you tell me, make Halitza? What's a Halitza? And the Gemara says, V'chibek kiritut Lav b'nei Halitza. We know already that if the lady to the Yavam, if there's Yisur Karet over there, there's no Halitza. So therefore, how could you tell me that they're going to make a Halitza over here? Lav b'nei Halitza v'yibum nidhu, the Gemara says. They're not subject to this. You understand the point, which means when a person falls to Yibum, it has to be hetir. They cannot be asur to each other. If there's an isur, for example, take a classic case, a daughter falls to a father for Yibum. Do they make Yibum? Of course not. That's hayuv karet. Father can go with his daughter. So according to the Yakut, it doesn't have to be that severe. Even if it's already a hayuv lav, you don't fall. And this case of in the Sris is considered a Isur Lav. He's considered a Psuat Daka. He bottom line cannot have children. That person is a Sur Isur Lav. So what is Rabbi Akiva saying? That yeah, he can make Halitza. What is a Halitza? He can't make Halitza. There's no Hayuv. The Isur Lav of it. She doesn't fall. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami says, oh, you know what we're talking about over here. How come in my Askinan? Kegon shenasa achiv giyoret. She's the brother that died, was married to a giyoret. So now who's falling to Yibum? A giyoret. Wait, we're not finished. For Rabbi Akiva, Sabala Kerebi Yosef, Damar Kehal Gerim, Lo Ekri Kehal. And he holds that the Kehal of Gerim is not Kehal. Therefore, this Giyoret can fall to the Psuah Daka in Yibum. Because the Psuah Daka cannot go into the Kehal. Now I ask you, this Sris, who's he falling to? A Giyoret. That's his sister-in-law. Any problem? Well, if she's Kehal, there's a problem. But Rabbi Akiva says that Kehal Gerim, lo Kri Kehal. So that's the case of the Mishnah. When do we say a Sris can make a Halitza on a sister-in-law? Dafka when the sister knows a giyoret, therefore there's no isur lav over here because the kahal girim is not a kahal, so there's no isur. So therefore you can make a chalitza. If that's the case, yibume name miyabim. Why should make yibum? Which means if already it's permissible, that means she fell to him. There's no problem. She's a giyoret. A giyoret's not considered kahal. Why are you limiting it only to halitza and the mishnah to be akiva? Right? Make a yibum as well. The Gemara says you're right. Make yibum. The aidi de amar Rabbi Yoshua choletz. Since Rabbi Yoshua, in the opening statement, used the word choletz, Amar ihu nameh choletz. So Rabbi Akiva also used the word choletz, which means like this. How did the Mishnah open up? I'm going back to the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Shamati shasris choletz veholzin. He used the word choletz. So since Rabbi Yoshua used the word choletz, Rabbi Akiva also used the word choletz. But in the Chinameh, according to Rabbi Akiva, even Yibum is okay. That's one question. Why did Rabbi Yoshua use the word choletz? So look at Rashi. The ID Damar Rabbi Yoshua Cholet, the Rabbi Yoshua Yibume Lo. He says Yibum is not an option. De'ik de kahal gerim mikri kahal. Because he says, yeah, we're talking about the convert case, but converts are considered kahal. And therefore this guy is a Saris, he's a Psuadaka, he cannot make Yibum. However, umiyu mehlatz halza. So then, why could you make Halitza then? So she says, Techibe Lavin Rabbi Yoshua Bene Halitza Ninu. Because she doesn't hold Rabbi Akiva. He holds that Bene Lavin can fall. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yoshua argues on Rabbi Akiva on two vital points. Number one, this over case over is a case of Chibe Lavin, which means it's Psuwa Daka that's fallen to a Giyoret that's considered Kahal. Oh, Chibe Lavin. Oh, but Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yoshua holds that Rabbi Lavin falls to to Yibum. Ah, as of a force to Yibum, so, but you can't make Yibum. Why? Because since it's considered Kahal, so we're not going to let them actually make a Yibum, but there is a connection there to do what? At least to make a Halitza. So it comes out we have a Mahlok and so far in the Mishnah between the Bi Yoshua and the Bi Akiva. The cases have a Giyoret, who's married, the guy died. Now the Giyoret falls to the Sris. So we say, according to the Bi Yoshua, the Sris should make Halitza. Hey, the Bi Yoshua, why don't you make a Yibum? Well, you can't make Yibum over here because, bottom line, she is considered Kahal. And therefore, lo yavo b'kahal, t'kanan abia. Oh, so why would he make a halitza? Because she falls. Because chibel avin is not strong enough to break a zikah. So there was a fallingness. You got to break the connection. How do you break it? With a halitza. Comes and Rabbi Akiva says, I even go further. Not only you can make a halitza, you can even make a yibum. You know why? Because the giyoret is not considered kahal. And therefore, psua daka can go with her. Also, Rabbi Akiva, can I ask you a question? Why didn't you use the word halitza? You should have said even the word yibum. Why does Rabbi Yoshua use the word halitza in the Risha? So I just said the same terminology. Now the Gemara proves it. Daika nameh. We'll prove this from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Diktani, he'id Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera al ben Migusat. Remember the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera testified on a fellow called ben Migusat. Shaya Birushalayim, Sris Adam, according to Shittav Rabbi Akiva, v'yibimu et ishto. And they made yibum to his wife, the Kayem Devre Rabbi Akiva. Shema mina. So we're assuming that they were bringing a similar proof that what? There was a Giyoret case, and they fell to the Sris Adam. And what did they say happened? They made a yibum. And to substantiate whose opinion? Rabbi Akiva. So you see, they're making a masold what? Indeed, yibum is permissible. Rana asks a question. Mativ Rabba is a question on this way of learning. We have a statement. Besua daka. Okay, besua daka cannot have children. Vikru chofcha also cannot have children. Siris Adam. That somebody became a siris, not from birth. I mean, he became a siris later on. Which means he had a sha'ata kosher. There was a time that he was able to bear children. Vazaken, certainly a zaken at in his old age, he cannot have children, but he also had a shata koshi. He was able to have children at one point of his life. So the deen is on all these people, o holtzin, o miyabemin. Either they can make halitza or yibum. We'll see the cases now. Let's read Rashi first. Sris Adam, hu'il vaitalo shata kosher, v'rabi akivahi. Okay, zaken. This is the beginning of the Braita. Zaken nakat le ba'de hanach v'shum dedami li'uda ita lo sh'ata kosher. Right? Zaken also is like a Sris Adam in the sense that he had sh'ata kosher when he was young. V'ashta pasak melida. Right? Now he stopped having children. What's the deen on these people? So it says they can do a halitza or a yibum. Ketzad metu. Let's say they died. Okay, they were married. Let's take a case of a Sris Adam. He was married. He died. So now his brother falls to the wife. So it says, Vilahim Nashim. Good, they have a wife. Wives. Vilahim Ahim. They have brothers. Ve'am du Ahim. One of the brothers gets up, let's say, Ve'asu Ma'amar b'nishotehim. One of the brothers, let's say, makes a Ma'amar. It's okay. Ve'natnu get. And after the Ma'amar, let's say, changes his mind, gives a get. Or Shehatsu. Let's say, straight out. He makes a Halitza. Ma sha'asu asu, whatever they do is done, which means they're able to make a halitza. That's the bottom line. Ve'im ba'alu b'di'avad, if they made a yibum kanu, which means the bi'ah is considered a bi'av, b'di'avad is considered a yibum. They are kone. Metu achin. Now we go to the other side. Let's say his brothers, the Sris Adam's brothers, died. Well, one of his brothers died, let's say. The Sris Adam is married. He has a brother that died. Ve'amdu him. The Sris Adam, let's say, one of these guys. Ve'asu ma'amar b'nishotehem. Right? They made a ma'amar with one of the wives. Ve'natnu get. They gave a get. O halsu, or they made a halitza. Masha asu. Asu. Okay, means they're subject to the law of halitza as well. Ve'im ba'alu kanu. Or if they made bi'ah, so the yibum is a yibum. Ve'asu dekayeman. Here's the key line. But they're not allowed to stay married. Why? משום שנאמר לא יבוא פסועדקה וקלות שופקה בקהל השם. That these people are not allowed to come into the קהל. So the Gemara says, Alma bekahal askinan. Which is, what are you talking about? Why is it asur for them to stay married? According to the way we learned the Mishnah, according to the Bi'akiva, we said that she was a giyoret. And you told me giyoret is not considered kahal. So you told me the Bi'akiva even allows me to even make a yibum. Because bottom line, they fall to yibum. And you can make a yibum because it's not considered kahal. But from this braita, what is it saying? That if you made a yibum, it's okay, but you can't stay married. Why can't you stay married? Because bottom line is psua daka lo yavo bekal Hashem. What does it mean lo yavo bekal Hashem? I thought we're talking about something that's not part of the kahal. So therefore, you're learning that that cannot be the case of the Mishnah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ma sha'asa asu. V'srichot get lema'amaran. Okay, if they made a ma'amar, they need a get. Or im natnu get, asurin shuv liyabeman. Okay, there's no more yibum. V'asur likayeman, lav azaken ka'eh. Okay, just but she points out, asur likayeman is not going on the zaken. There's no isur to marry a zaken. Even though you can't have children now, there's no isur on that. The isur would be on, let's say, all the other cases. The sliz, the psuadaka, the krut shofcha.
Oh, so,
So bottom line, what do you see from this question? That the way we establish the Mishnah is not accurate. I review. We try to establish the Mishnah how? Giyoret. Oh, Giyoret, very good. And what? Yibum. And what do we understand Yibum? Yibum and mitzvah, stay married, everything's fine. Why? Because they're not considered kahal. Good. But we have a braita. The braita says the what? That it will let you make a yibum, but after you make the yibum, get out. There's no more, you can't stay married. What's the explanation? You have to explain that what? That we're not talking about a giyoret. Obviously we're talking about people that are in the kahal. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela Amar Rava. So Rava changes the case to the Mishnah. Kegon shenaf lalo ulbesof nifsa. She felt the yibum. The lady felt the yibum. The guy was a regular guy. Therefore, there was a zikah. There's a connection. Everything's good. And then what happened? After the zikah was created, the guy became a pesuadaka. The guy became a seris. Oh, so what does that do for us? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shenaflalo v'uskeka li yibum, she fell to yibum, ulbesof nifsa, te'ashta baya halitza nafkore zika. Oh, so that's the case of the Mishnah, which means, I'll tell you what, that really she fell to yibum, when she fell to yibum, the guy was okay, so therefore there was a halitza to be done, and once there's a halitza to be done, so therefore, and then what? Then he became a psuadaka. But so what? But it was a shat hakosher over there before he became a psuadaka. The way Rabbah answers this question, he says like this: the Mishnah is talking about a simple case. The lady over here fell to yibum to this brother-in-law. The brother-in-law was a regular guy, and therefore there's no isur lav at this point. So therefore, you cannot say that the lav causes the yibum, the halitza not to fall. It falls. It gets created. But what? He became psuadaka in between. So now already the only option is to make a halitza, because you got to break that connection that was formed when she was legitimate. So comes the Gemara and says, we have a problem with that. Amar Abaye, veliti isur pasua v'nidche ase diyibum. Let us say that the isur of psua daka that comes now, it should push away the mitzvat aseh of yibum. Which means, even though, let's say at the time when they fell, there was something, because they were legitimate, but what? Now that he becomes a psua daka, it should be pushed away. Well, where do you have a precedent to say such a thing? So the Gemara says, mi lo tenan. Didn't we find a similar case? What was the case we're going to discuss now? We're talking about two brothers married to two sisters. Okay? One of them was a regular marriage, the oraita, and one of them, the father wasn't around, so the mother or the brother married her off. That's called a kedushin midrabbanan. Okay? So now what's going to happen in the case?
So what happened in the case is, let's say one of the brothers dies now. Okay? So now, the other brother cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum at this point, because it's now considered he's taking Achot Ishto. Which is, let's say the brother of the Gedolah, of the regular marriage, let's say he died. Okay? So now what happens? The sister falls to the brother-in-law, but he can't take her, because bottom line, it's a Achot Ishto. I can take her. So there's two options. Let them make mi'un. Mi'un is a refusal. She's let that minor girl, that her kiddushin's only with Rabbanan, let her get out of it. Because we want to get out of it, because really the Yibum is the Oraita. So they will let make a mi'un, she's out of the picture. Retroactively, she's never married, and therefore Yibum can happen. Or the Gemara gives another option. Let them wait it out. Let them wait it out until she becomes a Gedolah. Now when she comes to Gedolah, their marriage is considered Deoraita. Now already the other lady's off the hook. She gets nothing. Why? Because the Achot Ishto will push away the mitzvah of Yibum. So similarly over here, let's say the Psua Daka. Now already is the Psua Daka. Let the Psua Daka push away the whole Yibum. So even though at the time there was something there, but once the Isus comes in, the Isus will push it away. So let's read that inside. Milotana, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Rabban Gamliel says, again, it's the case of two brothers married to two sisters. Im me'ana, meaning if the ketana made mi'un, mi'ana. Okay, so she's out of the picture, so the other guy could make a Yibum. V'im lav, but let's say he didn't. Now he can't make Yibum or Halitza yet because she's a hot ishto. Tamtin ad shetagdil. Let them wait until she gets of age, and now the kiddushin's hal min haTorah v'tetze halazu mishum ahotisha. Then the other lady can go out free. She doesn't need a halitza, she doesn't need a yibum, because of ahotishto alma. What do you see? Ate isur ahot isha. That was hal after v'dachen. It pushes away legamre the din of yibum. Hakaname. Let's say once the guy became a psua daka, nite isur psua v'nitche. Let the Yitzura Pesua come along and push away the whole Hayuf. So that cannot be the case in the Mishnah either, which is Gemara's assuming. If that's how you're learning, where you became a Pesua after, there's nothing. It's over. Which means, if let's say the regular lady felt that this guy, he was legitimate, then he became a Pesua in between, finished. It's off. Nothing's going to be Hal. Oh, so what's the case in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Ela Manav Yosef is the final answer. Haitana. According to our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, Hach Tana de Be Rabbi Akiva. He, the Amar, Mechibe Lavin Dish'er Havi Mamzer. Mechibe Lavin Gerede Lo Havi Mamzer. We have a rule. What makes a Mamzer? So we said Rabbi Akiva says Mamzer comes even from Chiyuv Lav. Now we're quantifying that, we're explaining. Not every Chiyuv Lav makes a Mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. Only Chibeh Lav when it's, let's say, a relative. What's from a relative, that type of Yisud Lav. When somebody goes with a relative that's Yisud Lav, where there's a relationship, so then already it's Yisud. However, a regular Stam Yisud Lav does not create Mamzerim. Oh, so therefore, Psua Daka, it's not Yisud Kurba, it's not a relationship Yisud. Psua Daka is just a Yisud because he's a Psua Daka. So therefore, the Kiddushin is Tofes, and therefore she will actually fall to Yibum, which is a regular guy. The guy is a Psua Daka. That's the case of the Mishnah. He was a Psua Daka from the beginning. And what happened now? Let's say his brother dies. So now the deen is going to be what? According to the Akiva, Psua Daka falls. Because there's no Chibeh Lavin, it's only Yisud B'Sheir. It's out of Sheir of it. It's Chibeh Lav out of Sheir. Therefore, since they fall, so therefore they'll be able to make a Halitza. As a matter of fact, they'll even be able to make a Yibum. Ah, but why were they able to make a Yibum? Because basically we have a rule. The rule says that if you have a Mitzvah Ta'aseh of Yibum, it could push away the Lo Ta'aseh of Psua Daka. So what they make a Yibum? So that's what the Braita said. The Braita said if they made a Yibum, it's Koneh. But what? Get divorced right away. Why do you get divorced right away? Because now already the second Bi'ah is forbidden. And therefore, we don't want them to even make a yibum lechatechila, because we make a gezerah bi'ah rishona atu bi'ah shniyah. So therefore, that bright that Rabbah originally asked now makes a lot of sense. Which means when you have this psuadaka, and now he has a sister-in-law that falls to yibum, it falls. I told Rabbi Akiva, this is chaybe lavin, not this type of chaybe lavin. This chaybe lavin is not chaybe lavin the she'er. And therefore, there's a connection. And therefore, what's Rabbi Akiva's advice? Make a chalitza. And the Braita said, if you made a yibum, it'll work. Because, but it means chaybe lav. So what? If you made a, yeah, we say the haseh of yibum pushes away the lota haseh of psuadaka. But what? You got to get rid of it after that. Why do you got rid of it after that? Because there's another bi'ah. If they make another bi'ah, it's going to be a problem. That's why we don't advise yibum lechatechila at all. Look at how we advise to make a halitza. Look at Rashi, he speaks all this out. Ela Amar of Yosef, Shinifsa ve'aharkach nafla lo udeka'amar ta'ita Rabbi Akiva. He's saying like this, Shinifsa ve'aharkach nafla nafla, which means he was psua dakar from the beginning. You told me it's like you wanted to establish the case, you're trying to have to answer up the case. No. That's a relative. Shubelo yavo. Udlok Rabbi Simai, the Amar minakola yaoser Rabbi Akiva Mamzer. Chutz la'amar al Kohen Gadol, shere amar Torah lo yikach ve lo yachalel. Aval mikol ibed avin geride, afilu deka kurba havalad Mamzer. Oh, so therefore, that's the case of the Mishnah. Now we have another thing. So bottom line, if we want to review this Mishnah, what's the case when Rabbi Akiva said make a halitza? It's a lady that fell to her brother-in-law that was a psuadaka from the beginning over here. How does he fall? Rabbi Akiva says, no problem. She tov in this relationship over here. Therefore, there's a connection to the yibum. Why do you say make halitza then? Make a yibum lekatayla in a karameh. Really, it should be permissible. But why? He doesn't want you to make a yibum lekatayla. Why? Because if you let you make a yibum lekatayla, you might come to make a second bi'ah. But if you made a yibum, koneh. Why couldn't him? Therefore, the kinyan is kinyan. But why? You got to get rid of her immediately. So that's the case of Mishnah.